No, it's Just Plane Radio.
Yeah.
The show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
I can fly.
Tame it to the pilot, tame it to the tamer, tame it to the pilot.
Brought to you by JustPlaneRadio.com.
It's your lucky day.
Your aviation resource on the information super skyway.
You got a plane.
Call Just Plane Radio toll-free now at 888-884-2FLY.
And the sky's the limit.
That's 888-884-2359.
Sir, I'd like you to take the helm, please.
I'd be glad to. Greg, your co-pilot, that's me, along with Captain Keith. We are the crew today for Just Plane Radio, the show devoted to the aviation lifestyle and learning to fly. Now, Keith is excited. He's recovering from being under the weather.
Very under the weather.
Yeah, but you've been flying regardless, I assume, right? Spreading your germs throughout the cockpit?
Just a very little bit.
Just a tad? A lot of disinfectant wipes?
Yes.
Okay. All right. But you're feeling better today.
Feel much better
today. Okay, good, good. Well, we have to be upbeat because we have Captain Dennis with us on via the phone. And Dennis is in his car as we speak. Literally driving back from the inspection of his new airplane. Is that right, Dennis?
That is correct. I went and took a look at my possible new airplane today. Met with the broker and had a chance to give it a good look over and make sure that it is everything that they advertised it was. And at this point now, it's going to go to the mechanics and have them, you know, do a little deep dive to make sure that everything is in good shape and safe and airworthy.
All right, but what you saw firsthand yourself, you were impressed with enough to continue the purchase process. Am I right? That's right?
Yes.
Okay, so you are a happy camper right now.
I think it's going to make a nice addition to my hangar. Oh, I'm a very happy camper.
Yes, I know. He's like bubbling up. You know, even when Dennis is happy, he just kind of has the same kind of vibe. But he's busting out of his clothes right now. Or maybe that's not the best image I wanted to paint in everybody's mind. But,
truck drivers might enjoy it as a...
Truck drivers? Is that what you said?
Yeah.
What is wrong with truck drivers?
They're the only ones that can
see
down into the windows.
If he's busting out of his clothes,
okay.
They're sitting up so high they could look down into the car windows. When you're passing a car, they're at the same level as you. You can't really see what's going on if they're wearing pants or not.
Okay. Well, that was more information than I needed.
Hey, you brought it up.
Yeah, I guess I did. However, congratulations. It sounds like an amazing day for you, and I'm glad that we're capturing.
Because he's busting out of his clothes?
No, just stop it. Just stop it already. You're going to ruin the moment.
You took care of that a few moments ago.
No, he's getting a plane that he'll be able to fly me down to the Caribbean and do some diving. I mean, that's what's really awesome about this. So we haven't even talked about which specific plane. It is not the plane you spoke about on Just Plane Radio last week or the week before, but it is a Mooney, because you were looking at a Mooney in your local neck of the woods in Minnesota, but you found this Mooney, and what is it? Tell us.
So what I'm looking at is that 1982 Mooney 201. It's very well equipped. It's got all of the IFR radios, IFR GPS, two navcoms, autopilot with altitude hold. I mean, it's very well equipped for a relatively new instrument pilot, and suited very well for the mission that I want, which is to be able to go on longer flights and, you know, obviously go to the Caribbean with
me.
Without Greg.
Yes. No, with me. I heard with. Because he knows I have connections in the diving world. So he said, okay, if we fly my plane, you'll get me to some of the cool dive sites you want to go to the Caribbean. I'm like, yeah, we can make a deal. You know, and I'll have to share all that stuff, right? How's it work again, Keith? I got
to
pay.
You have to pay at least 10%. 50%.
I heard 10% of...
Yep, we have to share expenses.
This plane is so efficient.
I think it has to be equitably split.
Oh, is that how it works?
Yes.
Okay. For legal reasons, we'll leave it at that. You know, when it actually comes to paying the bill, we'll see. But
good luck, Dennis.
but since you mentioned it, the airplane is actually pretty efficient. You know, considering it's a four-place airplane, it will do 200 miles per hour.
Wow.
And it does that on 10 gallons an hour fuel burn. Well, you start looking at that, that's 20 miles to the gallon. That's better than many of the SUVs on the road. And this airplane does 200 miles an hour, which you can't do without getting traffic tickets in an SUV.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's better efficiency than Keith's truck that he drove to the studio today, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Yeah, heck yeah, man. Way faster, too. So, all right, this sound, I'm liking the sound of this so far. It's a four-seater. But what we have to know is how much weight can it take with fuel, full fuel? What do you got, Dennis?
So the useful load on the airplane is 915 pounds.
Wow,
okay. And it holds 64 gallons of gas. So we're going to be taking out of the useful load roughly 350 pounds. So that leaves about 600 pounds for passengers and cargo.
Oh, that's plenty.
Now,
we can do that.
We can okay. But but if we're going from Orlando to the Bahamas, we don't need 64 gallons of gas. So we could leave, you know, with maybe 50 gallons aside and gain back some additional payload too. So we can adjust as needed, and that's the flexibility of the air, you know, of this type of a plane. You don't have to tanker all the fuel if you don't need it.
Well, understood. But if you did have all the fuel,
if you're going to the islands, you better tanker fuel.
Well, that's what I was going
to
say. And if it was just me and Dennis,
have to make sure that there's fuel.
Well,
even if they have fuel there, sometimes you
it's kind of pricey.
You're better off tankering.
Yeah. Well,
they don't have the fuel inspections that we have here.
Oh, understood. Okay. Well, regardless, though, that's two people with dive gear. That's plenty. That's me and him. You know, if you want to pick up another, parasitic drag, is that the proper term to throw into the cockpit? Then that
parasite drag.
Yeah, parasite. Yeah, one of those. That could create some slight issues, but we could manage that. In most places we go to the Bahamas, they have good fuel, don't they? The bigger islands do. It'd be some of the out islands might be an issue.
Well, some of the out islands don't have it at all. Like Bimini, we go to Bimini, and they don't have fuel.
Right. But you don't need fuel. You literally jet along with, on the Caribbean breeze. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, coming back,
so
you could do that.
We have to have enough fuel to get to Bimini and come turn around and be able to come back to at least Fort Lauderdale plus reserve. So, you know, you're probably looking at, an hour flight each way. So at a minimum, we would need to have at least 3 hours worth of fuel on board.
Well, maybe. But, you know, once you get to Bimini, you may not want to leave. So you may want to just take enough to get there. And then, hey, you know, I got an excuse. I can't leave. I have no fuel for the plane. What do you want me? You're going to have to just put me up here.
Call Walt.
Well, I could call Walt.
Yeah.
He'd bring his boat over with some fuel.
Yeah.
He'll be good to go.
All right. So this new plane that you're looking to purchase, you're starting the process. It'll take a few weeks, I assume, right? You got to write escrow checks.
Yeah, we're signing the purchase agreement tonight. Yep, we've got escrow already set up. But
it already has ADS-B and all that stuff, doesn't it? Do you have all the ADS-B?
We're
going to have to put that in.
That we're budgeting for. Okay. We will have to replace the transponder at some point. But it has everything else that I need, and I figured that, you know, that's not a significant expense now. The costs have come down quite a bit, and we've just kept that in mind all along, that, you know, looking for an airplane that had ADS-B already wasn't necessarily an advantage.
Well, you still you're still under the deadline to get the $500 credit, too, from the FAA, right?
Correct.
Yeah, so you got a few weeks to get
now
that
I just
done.
Have to convince my wife that I can spend an additional $3,000 after I just spent a much larger amount.
Mm-hmm.
But I think I can win her over.
It's like, you want to know where I am? So this is how you're going to know.
There you go.
That's right. That's one way to do it. Find your friends in the airplane with ADS-B.
There you go.
Could be an app. All right. Well, this is so exciting. I'm very excited for you because I know what this means for me. Does that make sense?
It's all about Greg.
No, wait. Give us a timeline. When do you think, if everything goes smoothly, that you'll actually take delivery on the plane? Do you have an idea already or no?
So they said that they wouldn't be able to get the airplane in for the annual inspection until Memorial Day, the week of Memorial Week.
Okay.
So that's about 2 weeks, so a week and a half from now. And then they're looking at 3 to 5 days to go through the airplane. So I would say, by the end of the first week of June, we will have a yay or nay on whether there was any major problems. Was there any corrosion? Is the engine in good shape? All of that. They will have been able to do that by then. Mm-hmm. And if that passes, then it's just a matter of finalizing the paperwork and passing checks through escrow.
Very nice.
I could be picking up the airplane, you know, within, you know, the first 2 weeks of June.
Well, did you get any indication from the owner there that he could foresee any potential problems? Or he said, this is going to pass, no problem. I did it last year, went well, or blah, 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 you know, that kind of thing.
So I'm using the same mechanic that this guy had used a year prior. So they have some familiarity with the airplane. They're pretty comfortable that that we shouldn't have any major problems. But obviously, you know, it's been sitting a year. We want to check and make sure that, you know, nothing is cropped up in the meantime. But it sounds like it should be fine. We actually started the airplane up, taxied around, ran the engine up. It ran real solid, started up right away. Mm-hmm. So I'm comfortable. I think we're in good shape with this airplane. I think we have a good bird.
Nice. But you didn't fly it. You just putzed around a little bit?
No, nope, it's out of annual. I can't legally fly it. It's out of airworthiness inspection.
Well,
so you
fly it first before you pick me up, and I'll be good.
I'll have to. Well, you're not going to come to Minnesota.
No, you're no way in hell. It's too cold, even in August. So, all right, more coming up on Just Plain Radio. I'm excited!
Just Plain Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle. Imagine traveling twice as fast as you can drive. Imagine taking friends and family snorkeling, surfing, skiing, shopping, and more to exotic destinations. Imagine attending business meetings in cities far away and still making it home at night. Or just imagine exploring the wild blue yonder. Quit dreaming about it and get to it. There has never been a better time to become a private pilot, and flight training professionals in Orlando will show you how. Flight Training Professionals in Orlando is your full-service flight school. A state-of-the-art flight simulator, a fleet of the latest Cessna aircraft, and a staff of full-time seasoned flight instructors are just a few of the many reasons Flight Training Professionals in Orlando is the place to start your aviation adventure. Call 407-896-0077. That's 407-896-0077. Or go to ftpros.com. That's ftpros.com.
Whether you're a flight student, an experienced pilot, or simply an aviation enthusiast, there is a place for you as a member of the Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association. Join AOPA to get the latest general aviation news, safety resources, and technical support you need to sharpen your skills and become a central part of the nation's vibrant general aviation community. Learn more about becoming a member at AOPA.org. That's AOPA.org.
As pilots, it's all about the journey. But sometimes situations arise that can turn an adventure into a nightmare. Do what divers do. Join DAN, Divers Alert Network. The many benefits of a DAN membership go way beyond water activities. As a DAN member, you automatically receive DAN Travel Assist and up to $100,000 of evacuation assistance coverage. This applies to both diving and non-diving medical emergencies. Dive into DAN.org for details. DAN, your Dive Safety Association.
With Just Plain Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
So, you gonna ride shotgun with me, help me fly?
That's the plan.
This is Just Plain Radio. Greg, your co-pilot. That's me along with Captain Keith and Dennis, who's on the phone today, literally on his way back from his first inspection of the plane he's about to purchase, a Mooney 201. And I am so excited because I'm getting a plane. Woohoo!
Maybe he'll finish learning to fly now, Dennis.
I'll make you a deal.
Uh-oh, yeah,
we'll
I'm listening.
We'll put your logos on the plane. I'm going to charge you $100 a square foot for the logos per month. How's that sound? Then it could be part of your plane.
Wait. He's going to pay us $100 a month to put the Just Plain Radio
logo
on his airplane?
That sounds like a deal to me.
That's what I heard.
Yeah, that's what I heard.
You know what? Let me think about it. That's a little low. Generally, we charge a lot more than that. But since you're a friend and a contributor, regular contributor to Just Plain Radio, maybe... We can
see if you want to advertise Just Plain Radio. We're going to put your logo on, and you're going to pay me to fly around the country with the logo. That's how this works. It's a sponsorship.
Hey, listen,
it'll help offset my costs.
You are a plane owner, and you should not be drinking, Dennis. You really should not be drinking right now. This is bad.
Or drinking bad and driving, for that matter.
Good point. All right. Well, anyway,
I'm in Wisconsin, what do you want? I'm trying to fit in.
Oh, that means you're having cheese with your wine.
Cheese curds.
Go. And, cheese curds. There you go.
Boone Farm wine or something. Anyway, okay. So, I mean, this is exciting. It's a very exciting time. You went and inspected this thing yourself. It has to do its annual here in a couple weeks. Hopefully, you know, right after Memorial Day, you say they'll have it set up. Now, what happens though if they get into this? The mechanics start tearing it apart and do find something, because you're paying for the inspection. Evidently, is that right?
Yep. Well, I'm paying for the inspection, one, because it needs to be done to be airworthy, but I'm also doing it to cover my butt so that if there is something wrong, I'm not buying an airplane that has, you know, major issues.
Right.
As Keith and I were mentioning at the break, the cost of the engine is half the cost of the airplane. So if we did find that maybe one cylinder is not making full-rated compressions or something like that, I'd want to know about that now, because that could be you know, either a reason to walk away from this aircraft, or maybe we need to adjust the purchase price down to reflect the fact that I'm going to have to tear into the engine and have some extensive work done that's going to cost me significant dollars.
Yeah, but wait a minute. How's
so that's why we're doing this.
Typically work, Keith. I mean, when you buy an airplane like this, a used airplane, you got to get this inspection. Dennis is paying for it. Is that typical, how it works?
That's very typical.
So if they find something, and he does realize, like, oh, geez, something's wrong with the engine. This is going to cost a lot of money, and has to walk away from it. Is he down a few thousand bucks?
He could be, yeah. But, you know, you have to, you can't look at it as, hey, I'm down, you know, say $1,500 because I paid for this inspection to be done on the airplane.
Well, I would.
Well, yeah, but if you, here's the deal.
Yeah.
You know, we always highly recommend that people do this. We had a gentleman who purchased a 172. Because it looked beautiful, he did not get an inspection done. And brand new paint job, brand new interior, nice avionics,
yeah,
all that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And he flew the airplane for a little while, and then he noticed that it had a roll to the right. And so the maintenance guys adjusted the wings, because you can adjust the wing and try and take out the roll and so forth. It didn't work. So they start tearing into the airplane to look, and they found out the airplane had been damaged pretty heavily. And he ended up having to spend $10,000 to replace a wing.
Ouch.
So spend $1,500 to keep out of that mess versus $10,000. So when you look at it that way, you know, you're really, it's really not a very significant cost. Same thing with, you know, the engine.
You're buying peace of mind.
You're buying an insurance policy is what you're doing.
Yeah.
You know, if you get into it and the compressions are bad on the engine and you're going to end up having to do an engine overhaul pretty quick, you know, depending on the size of the engine in the airplane, you could be looking at $35,000-$40,000 that you weren't expecting.
Yeah. Now, you mentioned, though, this thing had been damaged. Isn't that something you could look up on, like, a Carfax? Is there a plane fax he could have got?
There's not, but you could look in the logbooks. However, it all depends on how it's written up in the logbooks as to whether or not you're actually going to find the damage. So, I mean, I've looked at logbooks for... as an aircraft appraiser, we go through logbooks pretty thoroughly, and I found an airplane that had been totaled, but there was nothing in the logbooks that said that. The only thing I noticed in the logbook was that it had had two annuals done, 2 months apart, signed off by the same guy with two separate addresses. That's what caught my attention, and so when I started digging into it a little bit further, I found out the airplane had been totaled, bought by this guy, put back together, and then resold.
Interesting. So there's no legal thing that they have to maintain other than the logbooks where you'd have to piece it together. So it sounds like someone needs to step up and start plane fax. Wouldn't that make it give you a little more peace of mind?
Well, they already have that. They have that to an extent. There's a company called Aerospace Reports, which can do a title search and ownership tracking and things like that that might help uncover some of that as well.
Mm-hmm.
But very little, because if it's not reported... Depends on what the damage is.
Yeah.
And if it's not, if there's not an NTSB report, they don't necessarily get that information.
Well, no. Okay. Well, how did you find this plane, and how do you know nothing like that has happened to this plane before? What do you think, Dennis? Not to scare you.
So I started off, like most people do, with that shiny yellow magazine that shows up on the coffee table every now and then, Trade-A-Plane.
Yeah, okay.
And I just honestly started looking through Trade-A-Plane, who started at the lowest priced airplanes and started just to look to see what are the costs. And then I started looking at, okay, if for the plane, I, you know, the features I want, things I'm looking for, I started looking, you know, the numbers keep going up as costs, and I just tried to kind of keep where my budget was and started to see what kind of planes are available in that price range. And I came across this Mooney 201 over in Burlington, Wisconsin. And so I reached out to the broker, started having a discussion with him, and, you know, now it's turned into I'm actually here looking at the airplane and test run up and working with a mechanic and going to make this happen.
Very nice. So did you actually talk with the owner when you were at the plane, or was this with the broker?
No. So that's the great thing about going through a broker is that you remove the emotions of dealing with the previous owner, who probably has an attachment. He's owned this airplane for 15 years and probably doesn't want to see it go away. And so now I'm just dealing with the broker, and everything's between him and I. We are just strictly on a business relationship. And that's it.
Yeah. And why is the guy selling it? You said it's been sitting around for a while, so obviously he just hadn't been using it? Or what do you know?
Yep, that's what it came down to. It sounds like he just hasn't been using it and finally decided it was time. And so he engaged this broker to help him sell the airplane, and that's basically it.
Find it a new home.
It's time. And he was happy to hear, exactly. And so he was happy to hear from the broker that, you know, it's going to a new instrument-rated pilot who's also got a son that's learning to fly and a daughter that's learning to fly.
Right.
So, you know, he tells us going to a good news.
Yeah.
Care of it.
Well, I understand. Did you tell him about your connection to Just Plain Radio and that you know me and that I'm real excited?
I didn't.
You didn't want to torpedo the deal. Understood. I translated for him. I think he's losing his connection. It was probably a good plan.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's a smart guy. Well, with the exception of it being on Just Plain Radio.
Just Plain Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
I've been up around the stratosphere at 31,000 feet. I'm gonna fly on out of here on wings that you can't see. If you're gonna fly high without fear, you're gonna have to learn to love the atmosphere, and you gotta learn to use those wings you can't see.
This is Just Plain Radio. Greg, a co-pilot, that's me, along with Captain Keith. We've sent Dennis on his way. He just got to the airport. That's why he started losing his cell service. But congratulations to him. And, man, it feels like my birthday. Actually, I had a birthday this week, so this is kind of my gift, is that Dennis got me an airplane. It's his.
Once again, what? Did not come out of your pocket, so you're happy.
I'm so happy. I mean, this is like the best of all worlds. Not both, but all worlds. I mean, think about this. He's going to have this new airplane. He's going to want to go down and come down and join us in Florida, pick me up and go to the Caribbean. We'll go, fly down to some cool dive place, and I'll show him some fish and stuff like that, and we'll just have a big old time. It'll be great. It's like the ultimate thing, isn't it? It's like when you and me went to Bimini, we had an awesome time when you flew.
Did.
Yeah. This will be the same thing without you. You're happy about that, aren't you?
About the fact that I'm not going?
With me.
No, sure. Absolutely.
Yeah, well, I'm just saying.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Well, anyway, it is a good day for everybody involved, especially
Dennis. And
Ed's
happy because, you know, he doesn't have a passport, so he can't go.
Well, he won't. Yeah. So, he's got a pretty good excuse. Your excuse will be you will not be able to fit any Mooney 201. Is that right?
Oh, no, I can fit in there.
You can fit on it, or would you have to wing walk?
No, I can actually get inside
of it. You sure?
Yeah.
Okay. They're about the same size as a 172, right? 182-ish?
Yeah, about 172.
Yeah? Okay.
You just got to climb down inside of them.
Yeah, but so the thing is, it only will take two people in dive gear. Sorry, Keith.
Yes.
So you're going to have to wing walk.
No, that works for me.
Yeah, it'd be something.
Since I don't know how to swim anyway, so, you know.
Yeah, so you might as well, trial by fire. You'll wing walk, and when we get over the ocean, just jump.
Just jump.
Jump in, see if he floats.
Or just aileron roll.
Okay, well, that's true. When we get annoyed and we're bored, we want a show, maybe. All right, well, Dennis also has some viewer mail. Believe it or not, from a listener that he connected with. But we'll talk about that next week on the big show. More coming up, including the top 10 approaches for GA airports. That's next on Just Plain Radio.
Just Plain Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
You are now clear for takeoff with Just Plain Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Can I let you in a little secret?
A secret? Just you and me? Sorry, that had to come out. Go on.
I'm not going golfing. I'm taking my first flying lessons today. I always dreamed of being a pilot.
Oh, Jay, that's fantastic. And I totally get it. I had a crush on the pilot who flew the crop duster back home. He had big, broad shoulders and a deep, husky voice that, in retrospect, could have been pesticide-related.
Can you promise me a sky that's trouble-free?
This is Just Plain Radio. Greg, a co-pilot, Captain Keith, rounding out the crew today as we navigate the latest aviation news and information. Okay, so privateflyer.com. I got to admit, I wasn't really familiar with this website before, but they got a blog post that is circulated around the web claiming to have the list of the most scenic airport landings for 2017. It's a top 10. So, you know, what's a big deal? All right, you know, no big thing. Wouldn't typically, you know, catch my eye. However, it ends up that Orlando Melbourne Airport, right here in our backyard, home base of operations, is made the 8th slot as the most scenic landing. How about that, Keith?
Interesting.
Yeah. Have you flown into Orlando, Melbourne, which used to be Melbourne? You know, up until 2015 or something, they added Orlando to it. Have you?
They're doing that to a lot of the airports around here.
Yeah, first we had Orlando Sanford. Yeah, we have Orlando International, which is our big international airport in Orlando. Disney built it pretty much. Let's be real. And then Orlando Sanford Airport, which is now taking a lot of the overflow from Orlando International. And then, lo and behold, Orlando Melbourne or Melbourne Airport, and was never even on my radar, you know, here locally until, I don't know, I'd say a few weeks ago, actually. It popped up because there's a small startup airline or regional airline called Elite that is now running some nonstops from Orlando, Melbourne to Bimini, which is one of the places, you know, you and I went.
Right.
And, you know, they're running these little 50-seater things. And, you know, some of that stuff is popping up around the East Coast. I think they fly up from, like, Jersey and stuff, too. But I was like, I never thought of that airport as a hub for us any more than if you live in Orlando and you'd fly out of, you know, maybe Daytona or something.
Right.
And that's not, you know, usually the big carriers aren't going to make a big enough difference for you to justify, you know, driving an hour away to hop on a plane in Daytona. But Melbourne's, you know, about the same distance for us where we're based out of, on the north side of Orlando, about an hour drive. And if they're running nonstops to Bimini, I'm in. I love the idea of this. However, now I got to do it just because it's the 8th highest rated scenic landing, according to privatefly.com.
I wonder why that is.
Well, they say that because you have, when you're approaching the landing, you have NASA towards the north.
Yeah.
You're coming over, well, and you have, what is it, Lake, what is the lakes? Right there. Gosh. Well, you get the sea view because if you're coming in from the east, of course, and then you got a NASA towards the north. But there is also, you know, NASA and Cape Canaveral has that kind of wildlife refuge area around it.
Right.
So, you know, you have some interesting water and wildlife views. And they got a picture of the approach. It looks kind of cool. But I would have never thought in a million years it'd be the eighth highest rated scenic landing in the world, by the way. This is not just U.S.
Yeah, I wouldn't have thought that either. I've been in and out of Melbourne many, many times.
You never did stop and smell the roses? or look at the view out and they're like, oh, that is so beautiful.
Well, yeah,
that
is so scenic. I look at the view every time I go in there, but I didn't realize it was the eighth
wonder of the world.
Wonder of the world.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But now you know.
Now I know.
According to private.
Learn something new every day.
Now, it ends up, I've been to, well, kind of. I've been to three of the top 10. So the number one airport for most scenic landing, what do you think it is? You got a guess? And we've talked about this before on the show. And I have been there. I have not landed there, but I have been to this airport several times.
Is that the one on the beach?
That is one of them. St. Martin.
St. Martin.
Where they blow the people away at the beach bar. That is one of them. I'll look here in a second to see where it's rated. But the number one most scenic landing, according to PrivateFly.com, is Saba. So you come in and do that short field landing on the cliff of Saba. And I've been to the airport several times. It is a beautiful spot just to wander around. And that's what we were just sightseeing. I'm like, oh, there's the airport. And then you look and they tell you how you have to land in this thing, let alone take off. And because you're literally, they've built this landing strip kind of on a cliff in Saba, which just, you know, jettisons up out of the ocean straight up. And it's pretty dramatic looking. And it does have the look that if you run out of runway, you are in big trouble. And let alone taking off.
That's typical of any runway.
Well, true, but you don't necessarily fall off into the ocean.
Right.
And have a big, long cliff into an alien landscape because it's like jaggedy, you know, volcanic rock. It's a volcanic type island in the Caribbean. But the takeoff is even more dramatic because it's only so long, and depending on how the wind is going that day, you literally drop before you ascend off the end of the runway. That's what I've heard. I didn't do it. I've taken a boat there. Matter of fact, I'll be there in a few weeks again. I'm going there in June.
Sounds like fun, though.
It sounds great. And now I know it's
the picture that they have here is very pretty.
Yeah. Well, it's just like that. I've been there, like I said, many times. It's a very scenic airport for sure. And that is the one they rated as number one. Now, and St. Martin's the other one. I have landed in that. So I've done those three. And matter of fact, I'm doing St. Martin. I'll be flying into St. Martin to experience firsthand. Now I'm going to have to make sure I watch. I'm usually just chair flying when I land into these airports. I've never thought about looking out the window and saying, oh, how beautiful this is. Oh, how scenic.
Well, that's because you're always in the back seat. You know, if you're actually in the front seat.
What do you mean? You think I'd notice it more if I was in the front seat?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Well, maybe so. Maybe so. I mean, New Zealand is listed, and, you know, Gibraltar is another one, France, and then we have Orlando, Melbourne. It just seems strange to me.
That picture doesn't look, it looks pretty current of Melbourne.
Yeah, I would agree.
With the dryness that we have here right now.
Right.
All the grass is pretty brown.
You think it'd be all brown around there? I don't know. It may not be.
It is. I was just a passer this morning.
Oh, okay. Well, you're speaking from experience then. Understood.
Yes, I am.
Well, you know, the St. Martin is rated number 7. So it's one slot above Orlando. Orlando, Melbourne's, nipping at its heels. So if they just put in a beach bar and at Orlando, Melbourne, that probably put them over the top.
Probably.
You think?
Yeah.
I mean,
that's what does it for St. Martin.
Yeah, people get out on the beach and wait for the planes to fly in on their approach and get blown off of their beach chairs into the water. And
if you haven't been there, it's an awful lot of fun.
Oh, it's a great YouTube video.
They've got a surfboard set up there that they write down all the flights and the times so you know what's coming in and when.
Right. You can plan when they get one of these big monster jets that come in, and you can set up with your time out your margaritas or whatever you're drinking.
Yeah, you want to have them gone when the airplane flies over. You do not want to have it up to your lips at that particular moment.
Well, you do if you're the person watching the video they're creating.
Well, that is true.
Yeah, but you don't necessarily want to be the rube that gets blown to bits and blast sanded and whatever.
Yes.
Know? But there's literally thousands of YouTube videos of St. Martin Airport Beach Bar. And it's quite a tourist attraction for sure.
Well, absolutely.
And every time, you know, they come in so low, you're like, oh my gosh, I look at it from the standpoint like, you know, having all these jet fumes blast all over you can't be the healthiest element in the world. You know what I'm saying? It can't be ideal for you physically. I'd rather watch some other person get sandblasted than participate in it.
Well,
you see what I'm saying?
I think the sandblasting and the being blown away is more detrimental to your health than the jet fuel fumes.
Well, maybe. But
you see the way some of those people go flying.
Absolutely. You know. Well, usually it's a group of four or five guys, and one guy has no idea what's about to happen.
Yes.
And they set him up. So now you've been warned. Don't be that guy.
Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Be an explorer in the other two-thirds of your world. Be the buddy who takes the kids in the aquarium instead of just to it. Be adventurous. Be amazed. Be a diver.
For nearly 75 years, the Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association has been a beacon for those who cherish the freedom to fly. AOPA protects your rights as a pilot by fighting airspace restrictions, fuel taxes, user fees, airport closings, and other issues that threaten your ability to take to the sky. AOPA is on the front lines every day to ensure that general aviation and the interests of its members are promoted and safeguarded. Learn more about how you can become a member at AOPA.org.
Awareness and common sense go a long way on a boat. I'm Greg the Dive Master, and I'll tell you how to avoid violating basic boating etiquette next.
This scuba tip is brought to you by DAN, Divers Alert Network. DAN helps divers in need of medical emergency assistance with the DAN hotline and is the most recognized and trusted organization worldwide in the fields of dive safety and emergency services, health, research, and education. Join DAN today by going to dan.org. DAN, your dive safety association.
Dive boat etiquette is about safety and respecting the crew and your fellow divers. First, ask for permission to board before just jumping on deck and setting up your gear. Once you do, keep it clear of walkways and stowed out of the way. And pay close attention to the briefing. You may have heard it before, but that doesn't mean everyone else on the boat has. Dive into dan.org for more info and to Scuba Radio to get the urge to submerge. Scuba Radio.
For takeoff with Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
I was flying. Of course I was flying.
I'm leaving on a jet plane. Don't know when I'll be back again. Oh, babe, I hate to go.
This is Just Plane Radio. Greg, your co-pilot. That's me along with Captain Keith. We are navigating the latest aviation news and information. AOPA is one of our big sources. Jonathan Sackier, their medical expert, Keith, you know him.
I do.
And he's saying eat your spinach, like Popeye. There's an interesting little story he wrote about that claims Popeye was right when he told us to eat our spinach because it's very heart healthy. And he's like, hey, if you're not eating spinach already as a pilot, you should, because you'll be strong like Popeye.
And I knew I liked Popeye.
And you'll be good, and it'll be good for your heart, too.
Who's Popeye?
You don't know who Popeye is. Are you kidding me?
I didn't grow up with TV.
Oh, my gosh. We're going to have to save that for another show. God help them. All right. Also, Cessna announced it, or Textron, the company, you know, the parent company of Cessna.
Right.
Has stopped the production of the Cessna Citation Mustang. After 12 years and 470 planes being built, they've decided they're going to quit making that particular model and rely on the Citation M2 as the entry-level jet that Citation's going to offer. So that was, I don't know, Ed follows this stuff. We'll have to ask him about that some more next week. Let's see, the Saudi Arabia has an unmanned drone that can stay up, you know, for like 24 hours at a time or something. So what are they going to do with it? Who knows? You know, it's going to be a new spy plane or security thing. And you know, I was traveling last week, Keith, and I was out on the left coast. But the news of the sonic booms back in Orlando reached me out there. And, you know, at the commercial break, I asked Keith, I said, what happened to you? Where were you when the sonic booms hit? And you're like, what sonic booms?
Yeah, I was out flying.
Wait, wouldn't you hear the sonic booms if you're in the air?
Not if you're not in Orlando.
Oh, well, I guess that'd be a problem. Yeah, actually, I didn't. You know, so we have these sonic booms, or we used to, in Orlando.
Right. We used to have them all the time.
Yeah, when the shuttle would come back into the atmosphere, we get these sonic booms and shake your bed, house, the whole thing. It was a little
windows
jolting.
Rattling.
Yeah. It was kind of cool you knew what it was, but if you weren't expecting it, you were like, whoa, earthquake. Oh, wait, oh, sonic booms.
Or you think that somebody was getting shot in the neighborhood.
Right. So, you know, there's certain places in Florida where you could definitely, you know, be a little startled.
Yes.
More than others. However, you know, we haven't had those for a few years now because they quit the shuttle program, right?
That's right.
Or so we thought, because there were some sonic booms.
They don't
always
tell us everything.
Well, definitely the military, because it ends up, if you didn't see this story, which I'm surprised you didn't see this, I got it all the way out in California. And, you know, they evidently, the military has been running a shuttle around the Earth, orbiting the Earth for the last year and a half. It was like they were doing their own shuttle program. And it was an unmanned shuttle looking, you know, flying vehicle. But it had like a miniature version of a shuttle.
Wow.
And, you know, what were they doing with it? Spying on us, of course. But you know, that's just what they do, and they got to do what they do. I'm not judging. I'm just saying it was a bit of a surprise.
It kind of sounded like you were judging it.
Well, no, I'm not. They got to do what they got to do. I mean, I don't mind them spying on me. I wish they'd share all the nudie pictures they get of the ladies, you know, suntanning out on their in their back porch or whatever. But yeah, it's out there on the web somewhere.
Yeah, there you go.
But you know, they land the shuttle and it creates these sonic booms, freaks everybody out and. Florida that wasn't expecting that, and they did think it was gunfire. You know, luckily they had alerted emergency services and the TV stations and stuff, and I think that's what I'd seen a station in Orlando had reported on. Hey, you know, stay calm. It's the military. They're spying on us. Go back to bed. You know, but I saw the pictures and stuff, and they did. It looked like a miniature space shuttle. So supposedly it was unmanned. I mean, who knows if that was true. Yeah, right. At some point you got to go, well, they were doing stuff they probably weren't supposed to do anyway, or we didn't know they were even doing this. So whether there could have been somebody up there, maybe it was an alien, you know, from Area 51. You know, you can go as crazy nuts as you want.
Yep.
But it was going on. But if you were up in a plane, do you get the sonic booms from another plane if you're in a plane in the same general vicinity? Because the sonic booms, when they do this, or when they used to do this, you hear them all up and down the East Coast.
Right.
So if you were in a plane and one of those sonic booms happened, would you feel it in the plane? Because it shakes your house. As you remember when you're, you know, we're in Orlando, we'd get those things and be like, and it would be like, whoa.
Yeah, two shots right after each other for the front of the shuttle and the back.
Right.
As it went through.
Yeah.
You know, I think you'd probably feel it more than you'd hear it.
You'd feel it, though, yeah. You think, up in the airplane, which I would think would be, well, it would not be good for the structure of your flying vehicle.
It's like turbulence.
You think that's all it'd be?
Yeah.
Hmm. Okay. Well, I don't know. That's what they were doing. And, I mean, it's intriguing just the same. But the fact that they're doing that, you know, I would assume... There's another one going up if there's not already more up
probably
there.
Probably already up there.
Yeah, and the Saudis are trying to catch up or they're launching their own vehicle now. So,
or the Russians. We'll have to ask Dimitri.
You know, he would know. He's our Russian correspondent. And if he doesn't know the answer, surely he could make up something that would sound good that we'd buy.
Or he could find out one of the two.
He'd just call up his buddy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yo, what's up? What's the guy's name running
Mr.
Russia?
Putin.
Yeah. You know, give me the skinny on our drone.
What's the scoop on this whole deal?
Yeah. And so I don't know. I mean, does that count as a drone if it looks like a shuttle? Or is it a...
It is a drone.
It's a drone. So, I don't know. It's the beginning of the end of the world. But cool technology.
I know a guy who flies those for the military.
Just remember, they're watching you. And we'll leave it on that disturbing note. Till next time, remember, there's no better high
than learning to fly.
Just Plane Radio is brought to you by JustPlaneRadio.com.
I say we take off and nuke the entire site from orbit.
Your aviation resource on the information super skyway.
It's the only way to be sure.
Just Plane Radio is a production of Overboard Entertainment Incorporated.
But just plain wrong.
Remember, you can listen live or to archives of past shows worldwide over the internet at JustPlaneRadio.com.
I'm going to leave my people up to the radio tower.
So tell a friend and take off every week with Just Plane Radio.
And I'm going to make a call.
The show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Listen up, everybody. I have some news.
The opinions you just heard on Just Plane Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests.
We are screwed.
They are not necessarily those of any station or network, its management, or advertisers.
A little too far. Cross the line.
There are many factors to consider before learning to fly.
What is your problem?
So make sure you do your own research and get the proper instruction before your exploration into aviation.
Thank you very much, sir.
Have any questions or comments? Feel free to do so via the web at JustPlaneRadio.com.